Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Plenary 2 of Beyond Borders, SAA's 2012 annual meeting. Please welcome 2011-2012 Awards Committee Co-Chair Sharon Salengo.
Good afternoon and welcome to Plenary 2. In case we did not meet last night during that wonderful get-together out on the park, my name is Sharon Salengo, and along with Aaron Larimore, it's been our great pleasure this year, and for me the last 2 years, to chair the Awards Committee. With more than 21 recognitions given out by SAA, it takes a profession to make that happen. We are more than grateful, absolutely grateful, to all of the more than 70 volunteers who served on the various selection committees and to all of those who took the time to nominate someone for an award or scholarship. We had a record-breaking 184 nominations this year. We want to send a shout-out again to all the students that were recognized at the all-attendee reception last night. It was a lot of fun, and we would like to mention that the Josephine Foreman Scholarship was awarded to Natasha Alvarez. The Mosaic Scholarship was given out to Aditi Worcester. The F. Gerald Ham Scholarship to Jarrett M. Drake and Nathan Sowery. The Theodore Calvin Pease Award was given to Pamela Mayer. The Harold T. Pinkett Minority Student Award went to Capino Shim. Oliver Wendell Holmes Award was given to Georgia Balura and Laura Mancuso. Donald Peterson Student Travel Award was given to Amanda Strauss. At this time, the J. Franklin Jameson Archival Advocacy Award, the Diversity Award, and the Council Exemplary Service Awards will be presented. After Plenary 2, please stick around because we do have at least 8 additional awards that will be given out in this room. On a personal note, I would like to mention that I've learned over my years in the field, and believe me, I've done a lot of different things in my life, that a simple act of saying thank you goes a long way in recognizing the work of a volunteer, an intern that's just finished processing a very difficult collection, or even a colleague that works alongside you each day. Those two simple words become a recognition of the importance of that person's efforts to change the world as we know it. Today we come not only to say thank you to these award recipients, but to honor them for work that elevates our profession. They pave the way for the rest of us, giving us something to strive for in our own work. They are groundbreakers, mentors, and advocates who provide inspiration and guidance. So it's with great pleasure that I say to them, thank you. And now let's meet these awardees. The first award is the J. Franklin Jameson Award.
Hello, we actually have 3 of these awards. I am delighted to present the first one. The J. Franklin Jameson Archival Advocacy Award, established in 1989, honors an individual, institution, or organization that promotes greater public awareness, appreciation, or support of archival activities and programs. The first award goes to New York Times author and columnist Eve Kahn. The committee members were impressed by your most recent New York Times article, Saving Scrapbooks from the Scrap Heap, published August 4th, 2011, as well as by your history of writing articles that discuss preservation of artifacts and the importance of archival materials. When you bring these stories to the world through mainstream media publications such as the New York Times, House and Garden, and the Wall Street Journal, you shine a spotlight on the multitudes of dedicated archive staff across the country that works so hard to preserve these original materials. Thank you for bringing our work to a wider audience and for shining the spotlight on our profession.
The second Jameson Award goes to B.B. Miller. The committee members were impressed by B.B. Miller's commitment to the archival preservation of dance through many avenues, such as advocacy with the dance community, organizing workshops on dance archives and documentation, initiating an archives model to be used by artists, and by being a bridge between archivists and dance creators on how to best meet the preservation needs of the field. Thank you, Bibi, for helping archivists to ensure that the history of 20th and 21st century dance persists beyond the current generation and for bringing our work to a wider audience. Ms. Miller could not be with us today, accepting on her behalf is Nina Couch, one of her nominators.
Hi, my name is Lynn Eaton, and I'm presenting the third Jameson Franklin Award. And this was honors Philip Stewart for promoting greater public awareness and appreciation of cinematic heritage. Mr. Stewart has published four books which provide in-depth descriptions of moving images found in the National Archives. By publishing and thus making these available to the general public, Mr. Stewart allows broader access to rare and unique materials to researchers around the world. His books include America's Film Vault, a reference guide to the motion pictures held by the U.S. National Archives, Battle Film, U.S. Army Signal Corps motion pictures of the Great War, Aerial Aces of the Universal Newsreel, and Henry Ford's Moving Picture Show, an investigator's guide to the films produced by the Ford Motor Company. Unfortunately, Mr. Stewart cannot be here today, so I'll be accepting the award on his behalf.
Hello. I'm Sherry Williams, and I'm delighted to be here today to make the presentation for the Society's first ever Diversity Award. The award is being presented to the Chicano Studies Research Center at the University of California, Los Angeles. The Chicano Studies Research Center's significant achievements in activism, education, outreach, publication, and service on pressing issues facing the Chicano, Chicana, and Latino-Latina communities is truly exemplary and deserving of being the first recipient of the Society of American Archivists Diversity Award. We were especially impressed with the quality and extent of collaborative projects, the focus on education in the community, and the support provided to UCLA's Department of Information Studies to broaden students' experiences in working with diverse and grassroots communities. The center and its staff are truly role models for the kinds of activities so important to diversifying the archival record and the profession. Accepting the award is the director, Dr. John Noriega, and archivist Lisette Guerrera.
Hi, I'm Terry Baxter. I'm a member of SA Council. In 1980, the SA Council created the Council Exemplary Service Award to recognize a special contribution to the archives profession, and especially to SA that is not eligible for one of the other awards given by the Society. This year, the Native American Protocols Forum Working Group is being honored with a Council Exemplary Service Award. They're represented by Jennifer O'Neill. Any other members that may be in the audience, please stand. I don't know if there are any of the people here. And I'll read this after I present it to Jennifer. There you go. Look at that big. Wow. All right, so what this says is, Whereas the Native American Protocols Forum Working Group has furthered professional discourse on the protocols for Native American archival materials, and whereas the working group created a mechanism for educating SAA members about the protocols and fostered discussion of that document through forums held during 2009, 2010, and 2011 SAA annual meetings, and whereas the working group applied the philosophy of dialogue, collaboration, and respect inherent in the protocols to highlight their critical importance, and whereas the working group reinforced the identification of best professional practices for culturally responsive care and use of Native American archival material held by non-tribal organizations, and whereas the working group coordinated with regional archival organizations to promote the use of the protocols throughout the profession, now therefore be it resolved that the Society of American Archivists recognizes the members of the Native American Protocols Forum Working Group for advancing professional discourse and raising awareness about opportunities for collecting organizations to cooperate with Native communities. Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dennis Meissner. I'm a current member of council, and it's my great privilege to present another council resolution that surprisingly has remained a secret up until this point. So I would like to welcome Michael J. Fox to the stage, please. Two dedicated SAA field agents gave their lives over the course of the last couple of months to keep this a secret until now, so we appreciate their efforts. What I am going to read here is a mere summary of the full citation, which is actually going to be serialized in 10 separate certificates that will appear taken together. They're really a ripping good yarn, and I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did. It is SAA Council's great pleasure to honor Michael J. Fox with this special award. Michael's service to the Society of American Archivists, executed primarily through his talented work in the broad areas of archival description and descriptive standards, has been thoughtful and creative, energetic, long-standing, continuous, and universally respected. SAA has been the direct beneficiary of his many efforts and of his sage thinking. That tremendous body of professional service to this association can be viewed in several areas. Michael was present not only at the birth of encoded archival description, but perhaps at its conception. And in the interests of decency, I'm not going to carry the analogy any farther. Since that time, he has served as a preeminent leader and thinker within SAA's EAD working group. Michael has contributed a good deal to the sober thinking and administrative expertise that helped ensure EAD's success as a practical and forward-thinking tool to structure, encode, and communicate archival description. More than most of the EAD promoters over the past dozen years, Michael has helped to bootstrap and support a rapidly expanding community of EAD practitioners. Exemplary of that, he devoted tremendous energy to creating the very extensive EAD cookbook, which continues to serve as a very effective user's manual. Michael has co-taught more than 62-day EAD workshops with his sidekick, Chris Kiesling. Together, they have developed perhaps the most popular SAA workshop that has ever been presented. In doing so, Michael has helped to train the first generation of EAD users, a community now numbering in the thousands. Michael has leveraged the value of EAD workshops by also developing and teaching, again in partnership with Chris. An equally popular and helpful series of workshops focused on creating XSL style sheets to render and present the content of EAD encoded finding aids. Michael has worked as a co-developer, promoter, and teacher of many of the standards that are shared by archivists today. These include Mark 21, going back to Mark AMC, APPM, and most recently DAX. It is no exaggeration to say that Michael has been at the forefront of these developments, has resolutely stayed engaged with them over the course of their adoption, and has been a strong and unwavering voice promoting their adoption and routine use by all of us in the community of American archivists. Michael has continually been one of a fairly small group of SAA members who have served with distinction as a cadre of de facto diplomats who built relationships with archivists overseas, represented SAA in formal discussions, and bolted together approaches to archival practice that could be adopted in an international setting. And finally, Michael has performed with great distinction his role as an SAA representative to the American Library Association, its component groups, and the library communities that address cataloging, technical services, and descriptive standards. For all of these reasons and more, SAA Council is proud to confer its Exemplary Service Award on Michael Fox.
Congratulations again to all these award winners. And now I would like to welcome Rob Splindler, who will introduce the SAA's 2012 presidential address. Thank you.
I've been very fortunate to have had two wonderful teachers in my archival career. My first, Megan Sniffen Marinoff, introduced me to literature, read and criticized my papers, and encouraged me in so many ways. But my second teacher, Gregor Trinkus Randall, was my first boss as a professional archivist. He provided a firm but gentle introduction to the realities of archival work that informs and energizes me to this day. But my assignment today is not to celebrate the impact Gregor has made on me. My task is to celebrate the enormous impact he has made in our profession. Gregor traces his archival lineage back to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Like so many of our archival luminaries, Gregor studied with F. Gerald Ham and worked at the State Historical Society, receiving his master's in library science and archival administration in 1980. He received training in bench conservation and preservation administration at Yale and began working as an archives, library, preservation, and security consultant. He might have kept this expansive title throughout his career because it is emblematic of the broad scope of his intellect, the breadth of his skills, and the depth of his commitment. Gregor not only believes in a big tent of cultural heritage professions, he occupies it every day. 7 years of library archives and preservation work at the Computer Museum, the USS Constitution Museum in Boston Harbor, and the Peabody Museum of Salem might have underscored the peculiarities of working in museums. But Gregor saw the similarities between museums, archives, and libraries. He imagined the possibilities of finding common ground. The Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners became the platform for Gregor's exploration of that common ground in 1988. Shortly after his employment there, he envisioned a broad survey of conditions in libraries across the state. His job on paper was to work with libraries, but Gregor has always had an expansive view of his work and of his responsibility. When I met him at SAA year after year, we would talk about how difficult it was to keep contact with the county recorders and the city clerks, and how he was helping place data loggers in public libraries on Cape Cod, at a museum in Sturbridge, and perhaps in a municipal office in Waltham. After so many miles logged on his beloved Subarus, the data started coming in. 20 years later, Gregor is still driving Subarus, and the data is still coming in, forming what may be the deepest and broadest set of environmental monitoring data for cultural institutions anywhere. But the data was only one pathway to a larger goal of preservation and security for collections and institutional staff across Massachusetts. His work in establishing a statewide collection survey, which I learned this week had an amazing response rate of 87% in 1990, an effective emergency assistance program, and weather alert services was groundbreaking in its time. These efforts led to his participation in the development of the Deep Plan Disaster Planning Tool. His advocacy with state and federal emergency management agencies enables cultural resources to be included in early response and recovery activities and identifies public libraries as critical resources for public safety, making them eligible for federal funding. Gregor's impact has stretched far beyond his home state of Massachusetts. His lengthy list of committee and working group appointments at the state, regional, and national levels cannot be summarized here. His informative and always demonstrative presentations to librarians, archivists, preservation administrators, and museum professionals cannot be sufficiently highlighted here. Gregor is a distinguished fellow of the Society of American Archivists, and he is now the recipient of the prestigious George Cunha and Susan Swartzberg Preservation Award from the American Library Association. But the revolution, Gregor's revolution, will not be televised. Might get on YouTube. Gregor is a family man with a great sense of humor and a humble servant. You might wonder about the humility after listening to one of his lengthy briefings regarding the recent activities of his accomplished wife, Vickery, and his beautiful children, Jennifer and Christopher. Or you might be concerned about his continuing stories of superhuman efforts in biking, skiing, the National Ski Patrol, Scottish dancing, and refereeing on the soccer field. But you're really hearing the proud daddy's affirmation of profound love and personal joy. So you have to cut him a little slack, smile and nod. We should all be so lucky. Ultimately, Gregor is a teacher. When he directs his considerable energies towards his work, his avocation, or his sport, he engages with it at such a high level of intellect, energy, and commitment that he becomes an informed and effective teacher. Once he has mastered the material, he can't wait to deliver that knowledge and understanding to his colleagues in entertaining, creative, and compelling ways. I am so lucky to have had the chance to learn from him these 25 years. So before he shows me the yellow card, it is truly a great honor and a great privilege to introduce you to my good friend and mentor, the president of the Society of American Archivists, Gregor Trinkus Randall.
If I can get the iPad to work. Thank you, Rob. You're more than generous. Good afternoon. I am honored, humbled, and honestly a bit nervous standing before you today. I would like to thank the membership for giving me the opportunity to serve as your president for the past year. Whether you believe it or not, it's been fun. I've had the opportunity to put forth some initiatives that are dear to my heart, to work with great and hardworking counsel, and to interact with a staff that never ceases to amaze me. However, before beginning my talk, I would like to recognize a few people in the audience without whose expertise and efforts we would not be where we are today. Therefore, I would like to ask that those SAA staff who are in the room and not at the registration desk, if they would stand. There are a couple of others in. And please recognize them. Next, I would like to recognize this year's council members. Would you please rise? We are fortunate to have had such a diligent and hardworking group of archivists as council members to address the issues that affect us, all of us, in our professional lives. It has been a pleasure and a privilege to have worked closely with archivists so dedicated to the good of society and its members. This certainly has been an activist council. In addition to their own issues, they have met every challenge that I have presented them, and for their tireless efforts and commitment, we are all in their debt. Next, I would like to recognize three groups of archivists. One has had an important role in advancing the profession and the society. One has set a high standard for me to follow, and one will serve as our leaders in time and in the future. Would all the SAA fellows please rise? These are the fellows, the people who have fought our battles, significantly contributed to the profession, and led us for a good number of years. Although we recognize the past presidents yesterday, I would ask the former presidents of SAA who are here to please rise. These are the people who have undertaken the responsibility of leading the society in good times and bad and ugly. Finally, I would like all the students and first-time attendees and members to please rise. These are our future leaders. I urge you, those who just stood, not to hesitate to tap into the knowledge and experience of the fellows and other longtime SAA members as you move our profession forward. Your familiarity with new media, electronic records, and your undying enthusiasm and energy will stand you in good stead as you take on new and challenging endeavors. I have mentioned to new archivists on several occasions that you need to get involved. I think that there is no better way to make that point than to quote a relatively new archivist and member of SAA. Sasha Griffin recently wrote, and I quote, "You need to be proactive in building your resume, proactive in making yourself unique from others, proactive in building relationships and networking, proactive in participating within the national organization that will be shaping your profession and for your entire career lifespan. In my opinion, those who are not proactive will fall behind those who are making a name for themselves and actively working on their professional reputation." End quote. My advice to you is to take this advice to heart and get involved. Thank you, Sasha, for writing it so eloquently. Next, I would like to highlight a few of Council's accomplishments for the past year and a half. To recognize the achievements of SAA members, Council approved the creation of three new awards, the Diversity Award, the Archival Innovators Award, and the Emerging Leaders Award. Council established the annual meeting task force to examine all aspects, and we just moved a lot further down than I wanted. That's what you get with To examine all aspects of the annual meeting and to propose changes when and where necessary. Council accomplished the revision of sections of the governance manual dealing with sections and roundtables. Council initiated a regional summit that occurred on Wednesday to open communication channels and opportunities for cooperation and collaboration between SAA and the regional archival organizations, as well as between the regional archival organizations. Council supported several initiatives regarding open government, the need to retain adequate funding for the NHPRC, and for the Canadian National Archival Development Program. Council members and two roundtable co-chairs revisited the leadership orientation and forum and developed a new format that resulted in an exceptional leadership orientation and forum on Wednesday with more than 100 participants. The membership committee, with input from some council members, worked to make the new member orientation forum a more productive session for all involved. Council revised, streamlined, and adopted an updated advocacy agenda for the society. Council approved the International Council on Archives Universal Declaration on Archives. Council approved the establishment of two new roundtables, the Military Archives Roundtable and the Students and New Archives Professional Roundtable, otherwise known as SNAP. Council members have begun examining the results of the member survey, an activity that will take them well into the next year. And Council appointed John Fleckner as SAA's representative to the NHPRC's working group to develop a report to the President in 2012. These accomplishments are only some of the highlights of Council's work. Given that much discussion occurred via email, I am still amazed that past councils have been able to accomplish so much in the pre-computer and pre-email world. Considering how much business is accomplished via these media today, their accomplishments are quite remarkable. Now let me move on. We are in a challenging, evolving, and exciting times for the archival profession. 4 years ago, Mark Green stood before you and talked about the power of archives. The following year, Frank Bowles spoke on the various components and responsibilities of our positions as archivists. 2 years ago, Peter Gottlieb proposed the means of unifying the archival profession. And finally, last year, Helen Thibault addressed the concerns and issues we are facing in the digital age. So where will I go? Last summer, I talked about, quote, the road to the future, cooperation and collaboration, and how we, at all levels of the profession, need to work with others to accomplish our goals. Well, where have we gone since then, and what is facing us in the future? As we all know, we are in many ways rapidly moving from an analog to a digital age. As a consequence, many of our long-held beliefs and practices are being challenged as we confront new media and new ways of fulfilling our responsibilities. Unfortunately, we all too often reside comfortably in our own silos or ivory towers, focusing only on what we are doing within our own institutions or our own small cadre of organizations. We need to break out of these silos and push ourselves into the wide world of information professionals, whether kicking or screaming, or willfully, or we risk being left behind. This is not to say that we are not accomplishing some significant things on our own. We are. One only has to look at digital archives specialist, the DAS curriculum, our work with EAD, EAC, CPF, and DOCS, the publications that we have written and published, and numerous other activities that recognize the impact that we have had on archives, nationally and internationally. Do, however, note that I said archives. We need to be interacting with others such as librarians, museums, museum curators, and IT personnel, as well to ensure that users and researchers have access to all, and I emphasize all, our holdings. Moreover, there are activities in these other fields that can be applied to archives that we should not have to reinvent. Let me take a step backwards to address one of the concerns and the proposals that I put forth to you at last year's meeting. I asked you to look to your left and to your right, and to realize that each and every one of you needs assistance in some form or another as we strive to accomplish our goals as archivists. This may mean assisting someone else in the field, providing guidance to newcomers just out of graduate school or those new to the profession. It may mean helping those in other professions confronted with archival issues, requesting assistance from archivists with extensive experience, or looking to other professionals to identify areas where they might be able to assist us because of their practice or expertise. It also infers that we can and should look beyond ourselves, our institutions, our organizations, and our borders to see where we can collaborate with other archival and non-archival organizations to accomplish that which we may not be able to do ourselves or to provide additional services to our members. During the past year, I initiated a dialogue with the leadership of the American Library Association and the American Association of Museums to identify areas where we might collaborate to our common good. From these initial discussions comes the realization that we will need to convene a face-to-face planning session in the near future to move ahead. At the same time, a brief list of topics that has been developed for future consideration. These include the possibility of coordinating educational offerings, addressing the concerns of digital preservation, coordinating advocacy efforts, and looking at leadership training, to name just a few. Each of these topics offers ample opportunity for collaboration, and let me give you some examples. In education, there could be a coordination of topics offered, the advertisement of these offerings to members of the other organizations via a joint education calendar, joint offerings and credit, and collaborative efforts to identify gaps in offerings to ensure that all necessary topics are fully covered. Digital preservation is already a pressing concern, too complex for one institution or organization to address completely. It is crucial that research into the ways in which we can ensure the long-term retention of important electronic records, whether born digital or digitized, can be coordinated cross disciplines and with interorganizational communication as to research and results. This research, however, often tends to be focused on what can be accomplished at large institutions. It is equally important that we not ignore the needs of the smaller institutions that may be generating electronic records or scanned images but do not have the wherewithal or the knowledge to preserve these records into the future. We must ensure that our efforts address the needs of organizations at all levels and of all sizes in the realm of digital preservation. As for advocacy, we have had a tendency to focus on issues that directly affect archives, and for good reason. Concerns regarding open access to records, reduced appropriations for state archives, and funding that directly impacts many of our programs, such as available from the NHPRC and NEH, deserve our attention. However, there are concerns that affect librarians and museums as well as archives, such as funding for NEH and IMLS, as well as the NHPRC, that may well impact the availability of funds for other organizations, libraries, archives, and libraries and museums, that house manuscript and archives materials. Coordinating efforts with library and museum communities and advocating for these issues and concerns in Washington would significantly increase our clout and enhance the message to the appropriate congressional committees. Furthermore, adding our voice on other issues that may be only tangentially applicable to archives could result in greater and broader assistance from other organizations for archival issues in the future. To achieve this, we need to increase communication between state, regional, and national professional organizations, both archival and non-archival. And finally, each organization offers some type of leadership training. Why not coordinate these efforts and collaborate on providing training to the professionals in all disciplines where we can also learn from each other? Current economic and political conditions make the need for enhanced advocacy especially acute. We are seeing an increased number of archival programs and funding agencies under pressure at all levels. We have seen cuts in funding to federal granting agencies, attempts to separate records management programs from state archives, as well as growing tensions between state archives and state information technology departments regarding the custody and the curation of state governmental born digital records, just to mention a few. So where does this put us? We are in a position, I strongly believe, where we can ill afford to be inactive or complacent. We must continue to advocate for increased funding for NHPRC and for other federal grant funding organizations and support our neighbors to the north in their battle for continued existence and viability of the NDAP and the CCA when necessary to ensure the retention and long-term availability of our cultural, historical, and governmental patrimony into the future. At the same time, it is crucial that we not work in isolation. We must work with our colleagues in the library, museum, and other information fields to develop a stronger advocacy presence in Washington, to push Congress to recognize the important impact that federal funding has on the long-term retention and preservation of our cultural heritage and government records. We must continue to exert pressure on appropriate government agencies at all levels to ensure that these entities survive at the funding level necessary to create and sustain critical archival projects. The value and importance of these services that we provide and the assets that we preserve are fundamental to our society. Records are essential, and we need to ensure their long-term viability. Concurrently, enhanced communication between all these information organizations at the state, regional, and national levels will provide us greater opportunity for reciprocal benefit in regards to educational offerings for all those involved. Moreover, cooperating in research areas will maximize the results for everyone. These are things that each of us and each organization can learn from the others, and we cannot be afraid to broach these subjects. We are all busy in our own silos, but we need to break out of them and look at the broader picture beyond our borders. While many of us have training in more than one discipline, we tend to focus in one area. Let us go back to our training and open up the channels of communication to enhance our activities and promote archives and archival procedures where applicable. As a further step, archival professionals need to open the lines of communications between organizations at all levels. Individuals throughout our profession are involved in innovative and exciting activities about which few people know. Organizations, for example, the regional archival organizations, have embarked on a number of initiatives on behalf of their members that should be shared among other organizations. We need both instigators as well as radical collaborators to move us forward. The participants at this year's regional summit brought some of these ideas and issues to the fore and have developed a set of recommendations for future collaboration between regional organizations as well as between SAA and the regionals. Now we need to begin the process of examining these recommendations and take appropriate action. Collaboration between SAA and the regionals can only move the profession forward. Again, the outcomes of the regional summit should assist in beginning this process. At times, we get bogged down with our focus on processes, procedures, and introspection. Collaboration is our way to the future. Think of collaborative or community-based approaches to problem-solving or project initiation. For example, digital curation or preservation projects. Identify who is facing similar problems, challenges, and needs, as well as goals, and work with them if possible. In digital projects, it is not only about our own collections. We should be contributing to the larger collections as well to be a corpus as a whole. We should remember that in the long run, as organizations, our priorities must be on meeting the needs of our members in whatever way we can. Collaboration with other archivists, institutions, and especially those with similar subjects as their focus, and organizations will enable us to serve our users better. Remember, our constituencies are our users. Anything that we can do to assist them to achieve their goals benefits not only our community, but the information profession as a whole. This brings me to another point. We have seen a number of user studies in the past. There is one component of these surveys that has only been partially addressed to determine how researchers search. This is an area that will become increasingly important as researchers aim to examine information in all types of media, whether that means primary sources, secondary sources, electronic media, photographs, audiovisual materials, three-dimensional artifacts, or other sources. Furthermore, researchers, as many of us know, may not necessarily rely on the tried and true method of contacting a repository to see whether they have the records of so-and-so or such-and-such. They are much more apt to go on the web and Google their topic. If we do not have a presence on the web with access to information on our holdings, they will not be found. Let me give you an example. You have an important archival collection that researchers consult regularly. However, you need to ask yourself a few questions. What are the best ways to make our holdings discoverable? Do you know if there are important library or museum collections that complement your archival holdings? How will you find out? How will the researcher find out? How will researchers discover that they all exist without being told by the staff, who they themselves might be unaware of the other related collections? This is one area in which collaboration is being increasingly explored between libraries, archives, and museums, or LAMs. The idea is to make all these collections available in a single search, in a single online catalog, or at least be linked electronically so that they are discoverable. Yes, researchers can do a Google search. But will that turn up all the pertinent information? Probably not. We not only need to determine how researchers will decide where and how they will search to find the materials on their topics, but we also need to identify any other collections that may complement our holdings. Then we can direct our researchers to them to advance their knowledge, research, experience, and results. In the meantime, the creation of electronic records has become easier and has expanded at all levels of government and business, not to mention our personal lives. The 500-pound gorilla, digital preservation, noted above, is going to impact all archivists, whether it is government records at the municipal, county, state, or federal level, organizational records from all departments and levels of an NGO or a corporation, or the manuscript papers of individuals created on personal computer, laptop, or other device. Moreover, as technology evolves, these records will also involve records, photographs, videos, etc., such as have been created by people on scene with their iPads, digital cameras, and smartphones. This is already causing problems for archivists in dealing with the records and documentation of the Occupy movement, as much of the visual documentation of this protest was created using these new media. It is crucial that we are aware of the implications that rapid technological changes, along with the attendant shift in the mentality of corporations and government regarding technology, will have. These new media are already changing how we archivists address our holdings. We will need to continue to be on the cutting edge of records creation and curation, so that we can be capable of handling the new media as it makes its way through our doors and into our holdings. More succinctly put, we need to curate from inception and through its life cycle. If we are not prepared, the media will probably still arrive, but we will be unable to appraise, arrange, describe, preserve, and access it because of our lack of technological know-how. So where do we go from here? You need to move out of your silos, to work with others to enhance your collections, to educate yourselves in new media, to provide increased access to your holdings, and to become active in your communities. All too many of us sit back and become focused on our own work, maybe out of necessity. However, if we continue to do so, we risk, as I noted above, being left behind. We need to become leaders and activists in our own right. If you work in a large institution, make sure that you participate on committees and make your voices heard. Without speaking up, the archives will remain static or, worse still, slide into the backwater. If you belong to a state or regional archival organization, volunteer to take some regional tasks or serve on a committee. volunteer to serve on an SAA committee or task force. While there are often fewer openings on these committees than there are volunteers to fill them, it's important to continue to volunteer. Build up your resume. As I mentioned, the profession is evolving, and we need energetic and knowledgeable archivists who are willing to make a contribution to the profession. I would venture to guess that there is no one in this room who has not or cannot make a difference to the archival world. Moreover, by opening our spheres of activities, we not only benefit ourselves, we benefit others with whom we interact, be they individuals or organizations. We need to be heard. We can be heard. We just have to make up our minds that we are going to be heard. We need to make a difference, and we can do so. Therefore, I challenge you to go forth. Work with your colleagues, both in the archival world and in other information disciplines, to make our presence and expertise known. Identify areas where we can collaborate for the greater good of all. We have much to offer on a variety of fronts, and we need to make the wider world aware of our achievements. Too often, it seems, we have a serious image problem, that of archivists in dusty, moldy back rooms or basements, caring for equally dusty, old, and irrelevant, often irrelevant collections. Well, whom do we have to blame? In many cases, it is ourselves. Let us go forth and challenge that image by making our presence known and advocating vigorously for archives and for our holdings. We can achieve this through cooperation, collaboration, and leadership. It is in our hands. Thank you.